Welcome everyone, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It's really amazing to look out over the church, and it struck me this week as we stopped and gathered together at some of the midweek services, and as we reflected on the journey that Jesus took, the days leading up to his crucifixion, just how beautiful and special the church is, and that God's intention for family and church is for times like this, where Jesus is our number one, and it's all for him and it's all about him. And so to gather together this morning just to glorify our risen King is really special. I want to start this morning by just focusing on Matthew's writing in chapter 28, and we're going back to that moment where the revelation of God's fulfilled promise is revealed to Mary and Mary. Here we go. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was white like lightning, and clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to his disciples. Those words, "come and see," really spoke to me this week as I was reflecting on these verses. Mary and Mary are invited into the tomb. The angel of the Lord invites these women into the resurrection, into the power of that miracle, into the tomb. God knows how skeptical we are as humans, and that for many of us, seeing is believing, and it was no different for these women. You know, they had turned up to see the tomb, to find their Saviour, and it was empty. Come and see. They're inviting, the angel was inviting Mary and Mary to come and look. And then the angel instructs these women to do something else. Come and see, then go and tell. They were the apostles to the apostles. They were the very first evangelists. They were commissioned to take the good news back to the disciples. And I've been thinking about what that conversation looked like. We know that they were afraid, and yet they were filled with joy. And at the start of this meeting, as we were praying, we were just focusing on joy. That in spite of your circumstances, and as painful as they might be at the moment, we can still experience the joy of the Lord. And they probably walked back to the disciples, and they were probably thinking, these men are never going to believe us. They won't believe what we're saying. And sure enough, they did. They went back and they told the disciples. And John and Peter, they break into a race back to the tomb. Can we have the next slide on, Mags? They don't believe it either. They need to see for themselves. And sure enough, the tomb is empty. And between the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection, ascension, Jesus appears numerous times to the disciples. And on one occasion, he appeared to his friends, his followers, the disciples. But Thomas was missing. He wasn't there. And when he heard about this encounter, that Jesus in his resurrected body had appeared to his friends, he too didn't believe it. Let's just have a look at that story. It's the next slide. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas looked to Jesus and said, "My Lord and my God." Like the angel of the Lord invited the women to come into the miracle, to come and experience the revelation, Jesus, with all the grace that Jesus carries, appears in a room with the doors locked, and he points to Thomas. He says, "Thomas, come and see." He speaks into the disbelief. He addresses the disbelief of Thomas, but he does it with grace and love. And there's this amazing and gracious encounter where Thomas gets to have that experience of stepping into the miracle of Jesus, putting his hands on the wounds of Jesus and seeing, putting his finger in the side. And this is our God. God is so deeply committed to seeking us out one by one. He knew that for Thomas, seeing really was believing. And so he purposed it that Jesus would appear another time, and this time Thomas would have that experience and that encounter. Come and see, go and tell, stop doubting and believe. The empty tomb and the risen Lord set the world on fire. From that moment, everything changed. The disciples went from being fearful and discouraged and full of sorrow and hopelessness to seeing Jesus and hearing Jesus. And from that moment, they were totally transformed into courageous and bold evangelists. And the early church exploded. Here we are 2,000 years later. What I'm about to read doesn't happen as a result of blind faith or wishful thinking or optimism. The following can only happen because of the cross and the conviction that Jesus is alive. Andrew, a fisherman by trade, became a missionary to modern-day Georgia and Bulgaria. He was crucified in Greece. Bartholomew, from a farming community in Cana, became a missionary in India and was also crucified in Armenia. James, son of Alphaeus, was a missionary in Jerusalem. Some believe that he took the gospel into Iran, and he was stoned to death in Jerusalem. James, son of Zebedee, a fisherman by trade, was a missionary in Judea, where he was beheaded. John, son of Zebedee, a fisherman by trade, was banished to the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation, and he died in Ephesus. Matthew, a tax collector by trade, became a missionary to Persia and Ethiopia. There's discrepancy about how he died. Simon Peter was a fisherman by trade. He became a missionary in Pontus, Galatia, Italy, Asia, and was crucified upside down in Rome. Philip, most likely a fisherman by trade, became a missionary in Turkey, where he too was crucified upside down. Simon the Zealot went from being a fanatical Jewish nationalist, and he emerged into a great man of faith. Thaddeus, also known as Jude, most probably a fisherman, became a missionary in Iraq, Iran, Syria, and Turkey, and it is widely believed that he was killed with arrows in Ararat. Thomas, a fisherman from Galilee, this Thomas, the one that needed the evidence. He went out to take the gospel to Iran and Afghanistan and India. He was martyred, he was speared to death. And Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot, was committed to taking the gospel to Jerusalem, where he died. Paul became an apostle the following year after Christ's ascension, and he took the gospel to many places, including Croatia, Italy, Spain. And then he was beheaded in Rome. The church doesn't explode because of doubt or wishful thinking. They had seen Jesus and their lives changed forever. They were totally convicted that they were prepared to die, that they were prepared to leave everything that was familiar to carry this message of great hope across the nation. I'm quite a sceptical person, which makes pastoring a church quite interesting at times, especially if we're praying and believing and healing. But I do like as much detail as possible when I hear that someone's been healed. If I can get my hands on medical records or x-rays, that helps. But I like the detail. I need the evidence. I would have been right by Thomas's side. I would have needed to see Jesus in order to believe. And there might be people in the room today and you're struggling to believe that what you have heard this morning is true. You might have considered yourself a Christian for a long time, but because of circumstances that you're facing, you're beginning to doubt whether any of it is true. I just want to go back to John's Gospel and that moment where Jesus and Thomas have that exchange. And Jesus says these words to Thomas, and this is the blessing for us today. "Because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." There's a blessing on us who believe and have not seen Jesus. It goes on to say that Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. God is so gracious, and he's longing for us to draw near to him. He's longing for us to experience the truth of Jesus. And shortly, as we look at the transformation that's taken place in this room, just within this church family, and we see what happens when people encounter the risen King, we get an idea that it's real. We have a sense that this faith does make all the difference. And the Bible is a record that we might believe. So if you are here and you want to get your hands on a Bible and you don't have one, come and speak to us. We have them and we want to give them away today. Read through the New Testament. Look at the person of Jesus. Read about what he did and what he said. And then invite the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and your ears that you would see and hear in a heavenly realm the things that Jesus is still doing.